If it's just my father, tonight's shiur should be for Refuah Shlema, for Chaim Shmuel Halevi ben Sima, Chaim Yisachar ben Chaim Mushkit, Yedidya ben Mazal, Gittel bas Rezel, and Yitzchak Yaakov ben bas Yasara, B'soch Shar Chalei Yisrael. As human beings, I think we always try to live meaningful lives, to make a difference with our lives. That's true in very mundane things that we do, and all the more so it's true when it comes to Avodas Hashem. We like to think that we matter, we like to hope and believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam cares about what we're doing. The truth is, a lot of the things that we do are already dictated by the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we're not going to get into tonight Hashkacha versus Bechira, which is a big inyan. We spoke about it a little bit in the shiur last year. But I think if there's one area of Avodas Hashem where we, so to speak, call the shots, at least in the eyes of Chazal, it's the idea of Yiras Shamayim. Chazal tell us in source number one, number Bichanina, Gemara and Brachos, appears several other places in Shas as well. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyiras shamayim. Everything is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is in the hands of heaven, except for what? Yiras shamayim. Shenemar v'ati yisrael ma Hashem lokecha shol meimach. What's the one thing kiviyachol you can give HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is yira kiyum liyira. This is the thing that's totally in our control, it's totally in our hands. But just to be fair, there is a very similar statement in Chazal. It appears in four places in Shas, in source number two. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mitzin pachim. Everything is in the hands of heaven except for cold and hot. What does it mean? It means like your mother told you when you were a little kid, if you go outside without a jacket and you get a cold, right? So don't say, well, you know, God wanted me to be sick. You chose to get sick. You went out without your hat, you left your scarf, you left your gloves. It's your fault. So Tosfos in Maseches Megillah and Daf Chaf Hey says, hold on a second. How could there be two things where it says hakol, everything except? It seems to mean everything means everything. And if you want to tell me there's one exception, but two exceptions. So I just saw a few minutes ago, the Sefer Esther Kedushos tries to say, well, maybe it's really one and the same. Maybe Yiras Shamayim and Tzinim Pachim are one and the same. Tzinim Pachim is just a code word for coldness and heat and passion and Avodas Hashem. And it's Yiras Shamayim and it's Avas Hashem. And he tried to tie them together. But Tosfos doesn't take that approach. Tosfos says that one is talking about before you're born and one's talking about after you're born. Before you're born, everything is decided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the exception of Yiras Shamayim. What does it mean, Tosfos says? Are you going to be wealthy or are you going to be poor? Are you going to be smart or are you going to be not as intelligent? Are you going to be strong or are you going to be weak? That's all dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The exception is Yiras Shamayim. After you're born, everything is still dictated by Shamayim, but now there's a new rule, there's an exception. You have to take responsibility for staying warm, right, for making sure you don't catch a cold. That's how Tosfos resolves this expression. Just to be fair, I thought we would make sure to include source number two.
What that was it?
Which Tosfos is a Megillah Chaf Hei Amid Aleph. Now I think also before we delve more deeply into the topic, we have to just define this term. Because we always throw around this term Yiras Shamayim, not to say that we don't use the term Yiras Hashem, but the term Yiras Shamayim is an interesting term. We're afraid of the heavens, what are we scared of? We're scared of the stars, the moon, what exactly, why do we refer to it in this way? And I found over the years three answers to this question, which I'll share with you tonight. Right, the first one is somewhat of an obvious one, and that is the fact, and we'll talk about this later in the shiur also, we'll get to it much later in the shiur from the Rambam, the idea that the Shamayim itself inspires us to recognize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The yira that I have comes from the Shamayim, from an appreciation, from looking towards the Shamayim. Where do we find this idea? Many have it, but in the Sefer Rayanos LeDrush, in source number 3, Rabbi Chiyo Michel Stern says, Mehabriya Megiyim LeAmuna. From looking at the world at large, you can come to Amuna. Look at the heavens. Be blown away by the trillions of stars in the universe. Understand the galaxy and you'll appreciate that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam who's quite large. And he concludes where it's bolded at the end. We call a person a Yare Shamayim. Why not a Yare Hashem? Again, we use that term, but why do we often call it Yiras Shamayim? His Yira comes from his awareness of the heavens. Look to the heavens and you'll appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. Now the problem is the answer is not really complete because as we'll see later on, the Rambam says that by looking at the world around me, I also come to Avas Hashem. And we don't use the term Avas Shamayim. And Futner will ask that question in a very direct kind of way in a few seconds, right? But we don't use the term Avas Shamayim and therefore we have to find another reason, a further explanation for Yiras Shamayim. So there's a nice answer that appears in a Tzava, Last Will and Testament, the son of the Arugas of Bosem, in source number 4. Small little kuntris, little sefer called Zichron Av. It's translated into English as well. And he cites an idea from the Sfasemis. What's the pshat Yiras Shamayim? He says this is Rashi in Chumash. Take a look at the third line in source number 4. It's a Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Yud Beis. Umuva b'Rashi b'Reishis al-Pasuk Yihi Rakia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to the heavens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu solidified the heavens. Rashi explains, Yischazku Arakia, let the heavens solidify. Again, the heavens were originally created in somewhat of a fluid state, whatever that means. You know, the sky is falling, that kid's story, right? There was such an idea that the heavens were in some form of unsolidified state. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did what? Lachim hayu, v'karshu migaras HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu roared, screamed, kivyachol, at the heavens, and they became so afraid of hearing the Dvar Hashem that the heavens became frozen in place. And they stayed that way for the rest of eternity. Explains the Sfas Emes, where it's bolded a few lines down. From the moment of Kadosh Baruch Hu yelled at the heavens and they froze, they stayed solid, they stayed frozen. They haven't given up that fear. Imagine your friend's hiding behind the door and he jumps out and he scares you. So you freeze for a second. And then you realize it's your friend, and you go back to your, you know, more relaxed style. Says the Sfas Emes, when we say that we strive for Yiras Shemayim, the goal is that our Yiras should be not only inspired by the Shemayim, but it should be as solid as the Shemayim. The same way the Shemayim got the message when they tasted the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it stuck with them for the rest of their, you know, existence. So too, the goal is that we internalize our awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that it's solid, that it's unshakable, and it never. It never reverts to that liquid, fluid type of state. And I think that's a big aspect of what Yiras Shamayim is. Yiras Shamayim means that I carry myself in such a way that I'm always thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I can be involved in my profession, I can be involved in mundane matters, but I'm always keeping that awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. And there's a beautiful mashal that Rav Moshe Leib Sasever brings in source number 5. He says, imagine a person has a diamond the size of an egg. He's carrying this diamond with him, and he's osek in many other things throughout his day. He's able to maintain an awareness of the diamond, that it's in his hand, it's in his pocket. He never for a second loses sight of it. And he's able to function, he's able to do other things. But there's a part of him that always maintains, whether it's an active awareness or some more of a latent awareness, but he's very much aware of the diamond that's in his pocket. What about if he's carrying an egg, a tissue in his pocket, right? You ask him, you know, what's in your pocket? He may remember, he may not remember, but he doesn't walk around all day with that awareness. Says Rav Moshe Leib Sasever, if a person understands Yiras Shamayim, he says about 5 lines down where it's bolded, Ki im adam chashuv ve'ein of Yiras Shamayim, kamo even tov ve'otzer nechmad. If you look at Yiras Shamayim like a treasure, which is really what it is, he quotes the pasuk in Yeshaya, Ki Yiras Hashem hu otzro. Yiras Hashem is supposed to be like a treasure house. It's the greatest thing, like the Gemara says, Ein lo l'kadosh baruch hu bo'olamo, Hashem has nothing in Shemayim except for an otzer full of Yiras Shamayim. That's the greatest chus we can give a kadosh baruch hu when we're yare, when we're scared of him, when we're fearful and respectful of him. Afim osik b'shar sakim, he can be busy with all sorts of other things. Masu matan oshar divir reshus, whether it's his business matters, whether it's mundane things, Eino shocheach ve'eino posik atzmo klal miyiras Hashem. He never for a second stops thinking about a kadosh baruch hu. And that's the goal of Yiras Shamayim, that it becomes solid. Yira like the Shamayim, it's unchanging. And that's again something, you know, it's not only something that that we find in relation to our awareness of a kadosh baruch hu. But it goes beyond that. It's something that the Torah, you know, we think of it almost as extra credit, right? To be able to be aware of Hashem while I'm osek and other things. It's something, it's a mefurish pasuk in the Torah. The Torah tells us to strive for this level, that I'm constantly aware of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk says in source number 6, in Parshas Vayelech, Uvenayim asher lo yadu yishmu velamdu liyiras Hashem elokechem kol hayamim. Train yourself to be aware of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Dvar Avram explains. He says a person has certain instincts. An animal has certain instincts. An animal has a certain awareness of the dangers that, you know, might be lying in the bushes waiting to attack it. Other animals. It's always on guard of certain dangers. It's second nature. It doesn't have to actively work on it. It's acquired it in such a way that it becomes second nature. Says the Dvar Avram, the same thing can be true by Yiras Shamayim. We can acquire it in such a way that it becomes second nature to us, that I'm constantly aware of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it's not that I check in once in a while, I have a moment of fear, a moment of intense awareness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But I can train myself. And that's what the pasuk is saying. V'lamdu liyiras Hashem Elokeichem. Says the Dvar Avram, it's quoted by the Pnina Mishulchan Gavo in source number 7. That's what it means, he says. Liyiras Hashem Elokeichem kol hayamim. Ki yiras Hashem eino ach yiro pach l'rega echad. It's not that I once in a while, it's a particular avodah, it's a way of serving Hashem that I try to do. It's much more than that. Rakino tas ba'adam zihiras tivis lahargish bara. It's a latent awareness. Again, it's a second nature type of training that I'm able to always be on guard, always aware of the dangers of a person who's not aware of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ulesur gam mimokshe mavas hatmunu mustar me'enei adam. And to be on the lookout for the Yetzirah who's always lying in wait to attack. And that's what it means, kol hayamin. Train yourself that you should have this awareness with you, kol hayamin. So this is the second explanation of the term Yiras Shamayim. It's a Yira that's solid, it's unwavering, and it parallels the Shamayim itself. There's a third explanation that I found in the writings of Rav Huttner in many places. And Rav Huttner says it really goes to the core of what Yira is. And how is it different than Ahava? What's the shorish of this Midah? What's the nature of Yira? It has a lot to do with what we just explained. The Shamayim became frozen in place. And when a person is scared, he retracts, he pulls back, he shows an outward sign of pulling inward. He's not expressing himself openly. Says Rav Huttner, why do we use the term Yiras Shamayim? He's the one who asked the question most openly. Why do we use the term Yiras Shamayim? We don't have the term Ahavas Shamayim. He says it's indicative of the nature of that midah. He says in source number 8, where it's bolded, V'hainu mishum, shezeh gufo masha nivra moneas atzum milahazkir mefurash pepiv as shem kono biyotso. A person who's a Yarei Hashem doesn't even want to say the word Hashem. I don't even want to address Hashem in a way that's so directly connected to Him. So the nature of Yira is that I'm more reserved. I refer to it as Yiras Shamayim. Umeshum zeh hu mechapes lo kinuyim. He uses various forms of nicknames or secondary names. Zeh atzma hu haretiyah la'achor shel hanivra mipasakar safsuso. If I'm a Yarei Hashem, if I'm aware of Hashem, I feel so inferior that I don't even want to address Hashem. And therefore I find again roundabout ways to make reference to God, Yiras Shamayim. As opposed to Ahava. When a person has Ahava, Ahava is chesed, Ahava is expansion. Ahava, I'm comfortable with Hashem. I can call it Ahavas Hashem. But when it comes to Yiras Hashem, I'm sometimes comfortable with Yiras Hashem, but I remind myself there's an aspect of Yiras Shamayim. I'm not so comfortable addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. There's a tangible fear. And that brings us to this week's parsha. Yaakov Avinu is on a mission. But Yetzer Yaakov, he's heading out, he's heading to base Lavan. And he knows how dangerous Lavan's household is. He understands the danger of Lavan, he understands the danger of that society, and he's very afraid. There's a tangible fear that he's experiencing. The Pasuk describes the beginning of the Parsha. Source number 9. And you have to understand there's a Yiras Chi. We talk about Yiras Shamayim, Yiras Shamayim, right? Yiras Shamayim is expressed through Yiras Chi. It's a fear of sin, and that's exactly what Yaakov is scared of. He's going to Lavan's house, he's scared he's going to drag him down. He's going to lose his awareness to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's going to give in to certain low taivas and to lower elements. Vayetze Yaakov mibe'er sheva v'yelech harana, vayifka b'makom v'yalan cham kiva shemesh. And on his travels, he finally comes to this place, and he sleeps there, as the Pasuk says at the end, vayishka b'makom ahu, says Rav Shalom Shodron. What's going through the mind of Yaakov Avinu? Can we imagine what he's experienced at this moment? He's leaving his father's side. He's heading to Beis Lavan. Says Rav Shalom Shodron in the Leif Shalom, source number 10. Hina Yaakov ozev es Beis Yitzchak aviv makom hakedusha. He's leaving the place of comfort. He's leaving the holiest place on the planet. V'holech al Lavan Arasha, the great trickster. U'pochid shema yichashel v'yilman bidarch avaram. He's scared he's going to learn from his ways. So says Rav Shalom Shodron, what would we do? You know, a person's going to a dangerous place, right? He understands there are spiritual dangers. So what does he do? He says he pulls the Sefer Tehillim off the shelf. He says a couple kapitel, and he gets in his car, and he goes and says, you know, hopefully everything will work out okay. Now Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu quotes the Rashi, Vayishka v'makom ahu. He slept in that place for 14 years prior to this. He hadn't slept. He was learning shtark in Beis Shem Ve'ever, in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever. What was he so nervous about? 14 years of learning. This is what he needs to prepare himself to deal with a character like Lavan. And this is after Rosh Hashanah already explains that Lavan was like an animal in his eyes. He brings proof that Lavan was really a joke to him, and yet he's still so scared. Says Rosh Hashanah, Klomar, the end of source 10. Al chashash rachok kaze chiger Yaakov atzma liyud dalit shanim ritzufos ba'amal haTorah nora shelo shachov lishon klal. He's so afraid, but that slight chashash that maybe Lavan will drag him down just a drop. You know, he's scared. He wants to be able to come back to Esav and say, Taryag mitzvah shamarti. Not 612, not 611. I want to come back exactly as stark as I was when I left. He wants to come back strong. And he's so scared that he takes 14 years to prepare himself to deal with a character like Lavan. And even after all his preparation, he's still not satisfied. Rosh Hashanah says, the psukim go on, in source number 11. He takes a nether. He's begging Hashem, please don't abandon me. Hashem's going to abandon Yaakov after everything he's done for him. Yaakov, the Torah scholar par excellence,
It's unbelievable. He says to him, "Vayider Yaakov neder leimor." He says to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, "Im yiyelo kimi madi." As if it's a suffix. If God will be with me, Ushmarani b'derech hazer asher anochi holeich v'nasan li lechem lechol u'begin lilbush. Hashem, if you take care of me when I come back, I'll pay you back. Don't worry about it. And Rav Shlomo Shadron concludes his words. It's not on the sheet in front of you, but he says, "Ein sofu gvul lepachad minachi." You see, there's no end to the amount of Yiras Shemayim, the Yiras Chet, that a person could work on to acquire. Yaakov Avinu, of all the people, you know, you'd imagine, you'd think someone, if there's anyone who could survive, we could trust in Yaakov Avinu, the name who our entire nation carries. And Yaakov's not confident. He's too afraid to face someone like Laban. You know, there are countless Gedolim stories. You talk about Yiras Chet. There are so many stories of Gedolim who had such a tangible Yiras Chet. I'm talking about people from more recent times. Forget Yaakov Avinu for a moment. We're talking about people who lived in our times. People you could see on their face, a tangible Yiras Chet. The Amshin of a Rebbe brings down, he says in source number 12, describing the Yira, the tangible Yira of the Rebbe of Karlin. You looked at him, you looked like he was, that there was someone standing in front of him with a sword drawn, about to kill him on the spot. It was so tangible, you could see it all over his face. Reb Leib Chassman used to tell Rav Shlomo Shadron, he was his Rebbe, he said, you know, when the Gro would walk out of his house, and the Gro was a pretty strong, you know, a pretty strong Jew, you'd think he could resist the temptations of the street, and the temptations of the street in the times of the Gro were not the temptations of the street today. The Vilna Gaon would review the first parak of Mesilas Yesharim 14 times before stepping outside of his home, because he was so scared, Chas v'Shalom, I should slip even a little bit. The Talmud Rebbe from Eretz Yisrael brings down in his Hamei Nachamuni in the Vayikra volume, I believe. He brings down the one time Rabbi Akiva Eger was sitting on Shabbos, and mindlessly, if you could say such a thing about Rabbi Akiva Eger, he stuck his hand into his beard. He was so afraid, Chas v'Shalom, I'll pull out a beard hair by extracting my hand, that he left his hand in his beard the rest of Shabbos. Can you imagine the Gadol Hador, Rabbi Akiva Eger, walking in Minhag time like this? Rebbe, your hand, you know, I can't take it out. It's fine, you're not going to get, you know, your nails are cut, you're not going to get stuck. I can't. He sat like that the entire Shabbos. This was the Yiras Chet of the earlier doors. These people lived it. You could see it in their actions. The Brisker Rav. You could go on forever talking about the Yiras Chet of the Brisker Rav. The beautiful story. Rav Avram Slonim Rebbe one time said to his Gaba, you know, people think the Hasidim are Yari Shemayim, but it's not as big by the Litvaks. You know, they learn maybe well, but the Yiras Shemayim is not there. He says, let me show you someone who's a Yari Shemayim. So he went with his Gaba, and they went to the home of the Brisker Rav, and they knocked on the door. Brisker Rav wasn't home at the time. He was checking the kashrus of a new mikvah. Okay, new. We'll go find the Rav by the mikvah. So they found out where the Brisker Rav was, and they traveled to the mikvah, and they came to the mikvah, and the Brisker Rav was there with a candle, and he's checking very closely, checking the mikvah to make sure there's no cracks. Okay, finishes up, kosher. Happens to be the Gabbai of the Slonim Rebbe, who's an expert in mikvahs. He's looking over the mikvah, and from a distance, he's already able to tell. He says, you know, there's one spot that's a little troublesome to him. So he turns to the Brisker Rav, and he says, you know, Chilas Kvod HaRav, you know, maybe we should just check that one spot one more time. And the Brisker Rav goes back, and he checks, and he sees there's a real chashash, the mikvah's not kosher, there's a crack in the mikvah, there's a hole in the mikvah. And the Brisker Rav started to tremble. He mamish started shaking. They described his hands were banging, his knees were literally shaking. And the Slonim Rebbe said to the Gabbai, we got to get out of here. We're not worthy to see such a sight. We know the story because the Gabbai told it over. And not only that, there's a post note to the story. The Gabbai came many years later to the Brisker Rav's house. Brisker Rav had never met him before. He only remembered him this one time. He didn't recognize him. And he said to the Brisker Rav, he introduced himself. He said, I was that Gabbai of the Slonim Rebbe who saw you by the mikvah. He says, just mentioning that incident again, he started shaking again. The Brisker Rav, just hearing about a story that happened years earlier, where there was a chashash of him kashering a mikvah that had, you know, a suffix of a shayla on it, right? This was the Yiras Shemayim of the earlier Doros. It's unbelievable, again, to have such a tangible Yiras Chet. And the Gabbai said, you know, most people would have said, oh, it's hashkacha. We would put a positive spin on it. Oh, it's hashkacha that you came just in time and you saved people from being nichshol. We like the positive side. Okay, good, no one did the avera in the end. But just the thought that someone could have done an avera, could have been nichshol in the Isser Karis, having an improper tefillah, right? The Brisker Rav was literally shaking from it. Now, these are the stories of the Gedolim of earlier generations. It's almost laughable to us to try to compete with this. Rav Lander told a story this past year in the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha that the Rav one time, Rav Soloveitchik one time, was walking somewhere, he brushed up against the wall and flipped on a light switch, or flipped off a light switch. And he said he sat for 15 minutes inconsolably crying by accidentally, you know, flipping off a light switch. And he said, it's the first time in my life I was Mechal Shabbos. This is Chil Shabbos. This should be our, you know, it's laughable. Halavai, we should have such averos. And the Svarim people bring down, you know, the averos of other people sometimes would be mitzvos by us. Look at source number 13. The Sefer from Rav Shlomo Karlin, there's Ha'aros at the bottom called Yisharish Yaakov. So it brings down, you know, last week's Parsha, Yaakov Avinu comes to his father and Yitzchak smells the Reach HaSadeh. Right? And the Chazal say he smelled Reach Begadav, Reach Bogdav. He smelled his Averos. And it smelled like Gan Eden. So some explain, he explains here in the footnotes, he says, you know, sometimes a person has an Avera, he thinks it's an Avera. Yaakov says to his father, look at all my shortcomings. And Yitzchak says, these are shortcomings? It smells delicious. Halavai, we should have such Averos. He brings down where it's bolded, Pamachas Halach Rav HaKadosh Rav Naftali Mirapshitz. In source 13 in the middle, Rav Naftali Rapshitzer went down to the river. Acher Chazaras HaRebi Milublin Zatzal Mitashlich. He went down to the waters after the Chos of Lublin was coming back from Tashlich. Ba'amru Shaholich Lachtof Es Averos Shishlich Rabo. He says, my Rebbe's Averos would be mitzvahs by me. So I'm going down to the water to pick up his Averos. Halavai should have such Averos. Right, this is how we feel when we relate to the earlier Doros. And he goes on, he tells a story about Rav Elimelech Lezhensk. One time Rav Elimelech Lezhensk was crying bitterly over an Avera that he had committed. So his Talmud said, Rebbe, what did you do wrong? I spoke during the Avon. What happened? What was the Maisa? So he tells the Maisa in source 13, he says, a woman came, someone came crying to the Rebbe's Gabbai, that there's a woman who's having a very difficult time giving birth, and can the Rebbe include her in her tefillos? And the Gabbai didn't want to bother the Rebbe. He's in the middle of davening. The Rebbe hears a commotion outside the door. He sticks out his head. He says, what's the woman's name? And he finds out the name, and he says, I'll daven for Baruch Hashem. She was able to have the baby. So the Talmud said, when did this happen? At what point in the tefillah were you up to? He says, in the last two lines, V'amar lo tamid v'nizkar, halo hayat terem Baruch Shamar. You spoke before Baruch Shamar. What's the problem? V'heishiv ki lefi nusach Ashkenaz, hu achar Baruch Shamar. According to Nusach Ashkenaz, the part of the davening I was up to for them would have been after Baruch Shamar. So even though Rav Elimelech Lezhensk was davening Nusach Sfard, he felt that on some level it was a hefsek. He's saving this woman's life. And he's still so scared, you know, maybe my kavanah is not 100%. Halavai, we should have such averus. So if this is what we find in later times, can we imagine Yaakov Avinu? Can we imagine the preparation to go to Beis Lavan? 14 years, he's terrified of Beis Lavan. 14 years of preparation. But the question that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky asks is, had Yaakov never learned Torah before? Yaakov is 63 years old. He's been learning from the day he was born, literally. We have sources that indicate that 15 years Yaakov learned with Yitzchak and Avram. He was only alive in the world for 15 years with Avram. From the day Yaakov was born, he was studying 15 hours a day with his father and grandfather. 63 years, he knew a shtickle Torah. So what's the rush? What's the necessity to go to Shem and Aver? So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky explains, it was a different type of Torah he was learning. By Yitzchak he had learned one type of Torah, by Shem and Aver, in the academies of Shem and Aver, he was going to learn something new. What was it? Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in source 14, Shem, who is Shem? Who are Aver? Who are these people? Shem b'no shel Noach sheniflan midor ha'mabel. Shem, we know, of course, is the son of Noach, a survivor of the Dor ha'mabel. Nitzol lo rak mimei ha'mabel. It's not only that Shem was a survivor of an intense downpour. Elegam misvivasam shel anshei Dor ha'mabel, mashchasasam. He survived the negative spiritual environment. Shem was an expert at surviving in an environment that's unholy. Who's Aver? Says Rav Yaakov, Aver noled v'chai b'mei dor ha'afloga. Aver was someone who lived in the dor ha'afloga. Elu sheratzu livnos migdal. Right? These were those sheratzu livnos migdal v'rosho b'shamayim k'dei limud b'kadosh baruch hu. He lived in a time period where there was complete upheaval, where people wanted to challenge their bonus sholem. Aval hu lo nischaf imayim. But Aver was above the pack. He wasn't swept away by the radical ideas. Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, only Shem and Aver, only the survivors of these generations could teach Yaakov the things that he needs to survive in Beis Lavan. It wasn't enough to learn the Torah of Avram, who himself had some challenges in his upbringing. But by Yitzchak already, for sure, Yitzchak grew up in a beautiful environment. He didn't have the skills, he didn't have the tools to train Yaakov to survive in the house of Lavan. But Lamaisa, what were they learning in Shem and Aver? Shem Ve'Aver was a training ground for people going off into difficult spiritual environments. L'maisa, what were they studying? What was the Seder Ayom? You know, if the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Aver came recruiting, what were they telling you? What was their program? This question was asked of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, one of the Gedolei Ador today, Shlita, and he answers in source 15, you know what they were learning? Lamdu Yiras Shemayim. The entire curriculum was learning Yiras Shemayim. L'maisa, how do you survive in a negative environment? How do you survive in the world of a Lavan? You have to have Yiras Shemayim. And Yaakov Avinu knew all the Torah that I had up to this point, and it was good Torah. But all of that Torah didn't give me the tools to take on a Lavan. Lavan was a very tricky individual. The Torah that he learned was not a guarantee that he was going to survive. Chafetz Chaim once said to his son in Source 16, "Ki ben Torah b'li Yiras Shemayim, hu k'gibur b'li kli zayin." Right? You're like a soldier without a weapon. You can be the strongest soldier in the world, says the Chafetz Chaim. But if you don't have Yiras Shamayim, there's no guarantee you're going to survive. You don't have your weapon. Yaakov Avinu had plenty of weapons. He was the paradigmatic Masmit, the Amal B'Torah. And yet there was no guarantee he could survive in the house of Lavan without a 14-year course in studying Yiras Shamayim. So we see that a person needs Yiras Shamayim. We have an appreciation for what Yiras Shamayim is for us. What happens if you don't have Yiras Shamayim? Or what happens if you do have Yiras Shamayim? What are the guarantees? What aren't the guarantees? So the Zohar tells us in Source 17, if you have Yiras Shamayim, you've got it all. Lemaisa, you've got it all. Koman de ispe Yiras Shamayim. If you have Yiras Shamayim, says the Tikkun HaZohar, ukmuhu mari masnisin, our rabbis teach us, the less lechosar. You're lacking nothing. And what about the flip side? What happens if you don't have it? Forget the Yaakov Avinu Torah scholars. The average person on the street, what happens if you're lacking Yiras Shamayim? Chas v'shalom, a person could be subhuman. You can lose your right to being a human being. And this is something, unfortunately, we've seen in a very real way. Rav Chanan Wasserman describes, in his Kovetz Ma'amarim, the last pasuk, the pasuk that we recite at the very end of Koheles. Sof davar kol nishma, es Elokim yira. At the end of the day, everything's going to be determined. Everything's going to be known. At the end of days, everything's going to be heard. Your actions are going to be recorded. So fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'et mitzvos av shemor ki zeh kol ha'adam. Being a Yiras Shamayim is everything, says Rav Chanan Wasserman. Hakavana b'zeh shelo yala b'daitecha leimor ki Yiras Hashem hi mayla b'adam. Don't tell me that Yiras Shamayim, says Rav Chanan, is just extra points. It's a sign of a person who's a very advanced Jew, who's a very advanced person in his relationship with the Rabbono Sholem. U'misha ein bo Yiras Hashem, hu gam kein adam. And if you don't have Yiras Hashem, if you're not a God-fearing person, you're still a person. But you don't have this added level called Yiras Shamayim. Says Rav Chanan, the pasuk's telling us that's not true. Al zeba kosav lashmianu she'eino kein ki mi she'ein bo Yiras Shamayim eino adam klal. You lose your right to being called a human being, and therefore, the more of a Yiras Shamayim you are, the more of a human being you are. And he says, God forbid, if you don't have Yiras Shamayim, it's ke'ilu you're not a human being. Humanity is defined by our connection to Yiras Shamayim. And Rav Chanan, of all people, has the right to tell us this. Rav Chanan was someone who saw this happening with his own eyes, someone who gave his life to Dayal Kiddush Hashem by the most inhumane people that the world has known in the last 100 years. In 1937, the winter of 1937, Rav Chanan traveled to Berlin. And when the Sri Deish, the Baal Sri Deish, Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, heard that Rav Chanan Wasserman's in town, so he invited him to speak at the seminar, right, the rabbinical seminary that existed in Berlin. And Rav Chanan came in, it was Parshas Vayera at the time, and he quoted the following pasuk in Source 19. Avram comes to Grar. He tells Sarah, be careful here. Tell him you're my sister. Vayomer Avram ki amarti rak ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. V'arguni al dvar ishti. I'm warning you, there's no yiras Elokim in this place, and they could kill us. They could kill me if they find out that you're my wife. Says Rav Chanan. This is what he said to the rabbinical students studying in Berlin at the time, 1937. He says to them, why does the pasuk say rak ein? Seems to be a double negative. Just say, Ein Yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. What do you mean, rock Ein Yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh? So Rav Chanan said, the Plishtim, the people of Grar, the people of that society, had a lot of good things going for them. The one thing they didn't have was Yiras Hashem. They had culture, they had advancements in technology, they had wisdom, they had a lot of things, a lot of milas. But rock, the one thing that they didn't have, Ein Yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. But Avram was saying to his wife, if you don't have Yiras Elokim, you know it could happen. A cultured society, a society that claims to be the finest of humanity, could lose its humanity completely. And they could go to the point where they're going to kill someone to steal his wife. This was 1937. Right, not long before the Nazis were, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, right, the civilized Germans became the most corrupt, heinous, hideous murderers of all time. So again, if a person's lacking Yiras Shamayim, Chas V'Shalom, he's lost. And that's really not just the key to Yaakov Avinu's survival in his galus, but it's really the key to our survival in our galus. So we've seen the chashivas of Yiras Shamayim, and now it's time to, the last 14 minutes or so, to transition and ask ourselves, so Lemaisa, how do you work on Yiras Shamayim? Because it's very nice, we have an appreciation for the importance of Yiras Shamayim. We understand how the Gedolim had such Yiras Chayim. But Lemaisa, right, practically, how does a person work on this? And this is a very difficult question that's asked in general when it comes to emotional mitzvahs. How can there be a commandment to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Either I feel it or I don't. It's an emotion. You want to command me to shake a lulav, I'll shake a lulav, regardless of how I feel about it. You want to command me to blow a shofar, I'll blow a shofar. Eat some matzah, so I'll eat some matzah. How do you command the person in the emotion? This question is asked by Rishonim. Ibn Ezra discusses it in two places, Abarbanel, Kliyakar, Sfasemes, and Parshas Veschanan. Many people wonder, how is it possible to command someone to have an emotional feeling? So I want to give three etzos lemaisa, practical, what I think, hopefully, is practical advice, how we can work. On a practical level, how do we work on Yiras Shamayim? Etzah number one, I think we have to just acknowledge the reality that Yiras Shamayim is worth having because we have to be afraid of something. A person has physical needs and emotional needs. That's the reality of the world. A person has certain needs, emotional needs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed us with a need to fear. So the question is, what do I choose to fear? I could fear smaller things, petty things, less serious things, or I could choose to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that will protect me from fearing these other things. Rav Chaim Volozhiner describes in his Perash on Pirkei Avos, in source number 20, this reality. He says, "Lekach nivru mazikim machablim ba'olam, lasos din ba'olam." HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all sorts of frightful things in the world. Why? Hashem doesn't like us? He wants to scare us? What's the idea? Kedei she'avinu b'nei adam shehu mei Hashem yisparach ve'yiru milafanav k'mo shekasa b'chovas levavos. I'm supposed to take those things and use that as a springboard to fearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She'abosh milar be'abruim. I should be embarrassed to fear those. Instead, why not channel my fear towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And he says where it's bolded, Kashar yeshel of yiras Hashem ein lo liyare mishum davar. If I truly fear Hashem, I have nothing else to worry about in the world. Avalam eino yare me Hashem yisparach, hu yare me abruim me harbe arayos v'harbe dovim. Then there's all sorts of creatures in the world that will try to attack me, try to harm me. V'harbe listim b'tzuyim bolam. And then robbers are a real threat to a person. Asher ve'emes sarech leare meham yisheino yare me Hashem. If I'm not scared of Hashem, I do have to be afraid of all the other things that could go wrong in life. All the dangerous things that exist in the world at large. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, is telling Klal Yisrael. Ma Hashem Elokecha shol mimachim liyiras Hashem. If you have to fear something, doesn't it make sense to channel that fear towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Ratzel Lomar, Kevan Shal Karcho, Yesh Lo La'adam, Yira Meharbe Dvar Ram. If I'm going to have to be afraid of something, Halo Tov Tov, La'afoch HaYira, the Tov Liyare Meis Hashem. I might as well channel it towards the fear of Hashem. Va'az Yinatzel Mikol HaYiras Sheyesh Ba'olam. Then you're able to save yourself from all the other fears of the world. I was zocheh at one point in my life to practice this on a very babyish scale. When we lived in the apartments over here in Teaneck, we had a little problem with a little creature running around our apartment, a little mouse. And I remember that at the time I was practicing this idea. You know, I'm terrified. Anytime I heard a little creak, I jumped, I was out of my seat. A safer would slide off the shelf, a cup would fall over in the kitchen. Any little sound, I was mamish petrified of this tiny little creature. And then I realized, you know what? I don't have Yiras Shamayim. I don't have Yiras Chet. I'm not really scared of these things. Halavai, I should, but I don't. Lamaisa, I don't, and many of us struggle with it. So every time my heart is racing from this tiny little mouse, why don't I think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu for a second? And I was able to work, at least to understand what that feeling must have been like when the Brisker Rav was standing by that mikvah, to just get a taste, a little bit of what it means to truly be afraid, to channel it towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a tremendous Eitzah that we can use. And the Karban Ani, Rav Yaakov Katino was one of the Rabbanim of Chust. He writes in Source 22 and explaining the Pasuk by Meiser Sheni. Pasuk says in Source 21, "V'nasata b'kesef v'tzarta b'kesef yadecha." You take your money up to Yerushalayim and you exchange, you're able to exchange your produce for money to take it to Yerushalayim for Meiser Sheni. What does it mean, "V'nasata b'kesef v'tzarta b'kesef yadecha"? He says, he quotes from the Bali Musar, "Dekeshemis over ba'adam yira ra o ava ra." When a person has a misplaced fear or a misplaced emotional attachment, a love. You're able to connect that to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A slightly different nuance of how he expresses it. Think about the fact, if I'm scared of this, how could I not be scared of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? And he says, Al Derech Drash, that's the Pshat in the Pasuk. What's the Pshat in the Pasuk? V'nasata b'kesef. Kesef, we know, nichsof nichsafti is a lashon of what? Of longing. V'nasata b'kesef. If a person has a feeling of kesef, a feeling of excitement, or a feeling of fear, v'tzarta b'kesef. Refine that kesef. Take that feeling of ava, or take that feeling of yira, and you know what you should do to it? V'halachta l'makom asher yivchar Hashem. Take it and channel it towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because you may not be able to tap into those pure spiritual feelings on your own. Use life's experience to tap into it. In 1967, there was an American bacher who was studying in the Mir Yeshiva in Rav Nachum's shir. And it was clear that the war was imminent, and his parents were pressuring him to come home, and he came to Rav Nachum, his rabbi, and he said, "Should I stay? Should I go?" He said, his rabbi said, "You need to stay." He said, "If you stay, you'll have a real opportunity to shtag." And his parents pressured him, eventually he went home. And in June of 1967, there were tremendous yeshuos. And he came back eventually to Eretz Yisrael, to the Mir Yeshiva. And he went over to his Rebbe, Reb Nachum, and he said, "You know, Rebbe, You said, I'm going to miss out on an opportunity to shy. I just want you to know I was shying all along in America. I went to yeshiva, and every day I was learning. I kept the seder that we were learning here in the Mir Yeshiva. And as Rebbe said to him, you thought that's what I meant by shtaiging? That's not the type of shtaiging I was talking about. I was talking about shtaiging to be able to grow in a Avodas Hashem from the air sirens. And to shtaig from the fear of death that was palpable at the time. You missed out on an opportunity to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. You missed out on an opportunity to feel Yirat Shamayim like you never felt it before. Again, this is the first Eitzah that I want to offer you tonight. Accepting this reality. We have to fear things. So we might as well channel it towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Second practical Eitzah, which is an area that always needs chizuk. And that is gaining yira from an appreciation of our Rabbana. When we look to our leaders, we look to our sages, and we see the chashivas of who they are, and we stand in front of them, if you've ever stood before who you consider a true Adam Gadol, and your heart starts to race a little bit, that's also a way to use that as a springboard to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone knows the Gemara, the famous Gemara in Pesachim, source 23, where Shimon Amsuni or Nechemya Amsuni is darshaning every S in the Torah. Anytime it says the word S, right? He wants to explain, what does that come to include? And he gets to the pasuk, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, and he's stuck. Fear something with God. What else could I fear with God? Fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone. And he abandons his entire thesis. Comes along Rabbi Akiva at the end of source 23, Achabar Rabbi Akiva Vadarash, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, if you want to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what else you can fear? Lerabos Tamidei Chachamim. Fear the Tamidei Chachamim. Learn to have a respect for your Rabbanim. And through them, you'll come to an appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that explains the Gemara that we sort of started with. The Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyira Shemayim. It's a very nice idea. Everything's in the hands of heaven except for Yira Shemayim. Hashem doesn't ask much from you. What do I ask? Ma Hashem El Hashem El Kecha Shomei Machim Yira. The only thing I asked for you was a little Yira Shemayim. So the Gemara says, Yira Shemayim, is it really so simple? You talk about it as if it's it's a beginner's course. It's not a Pashut matter. Yaakov spent 14 years training in it. Right? Is it such a small matter? So the Gemara says, yes, for Moshe Rabbeinu it's a small thing. So everyone asked. It's very nice. So for Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a small thing. But what about the rest of Klal Yisrael? That statement, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shomei Machos Et Klal Yisrael. What are you telling me? Well, for Moshe, it's not a big deal. And what does that do for me? What does it do for Moshe Tzvi Weinberg? So the Baal Shem Tov explained in source 24, where it's bolded. V'tir it's a Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. What does it mean, Legabe Moshe, it's a small thing? Hainu, Lahem Shahayu Gabe Moshe. The people who had the zchus to stand in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu had no problem coming to a level of Yirat Shamayim. V'hu Haya Manik Shalem, he was their leader. He taught them. He stood before them in his holy ways. Haya Davar Katan, it was easy for them to acquire Yirat Shamayim. Ki Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom, Himshich B'chinas Yira L'chol Adorahu. Moshe was able to inspire that entire generation with Yirat Shamayim. Ki Hu Haya Manik. Can you imagine what it was like to stand? As gentle and as wonderful as we can imagine, Moshe Rabbeinu to be, right? To stand in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu, to have a leader who's encouraging you, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shomei Mach, except for Yira. It was a lot easier for them to acquire. This is the idea, Eitzah number two. If we have an appreciation of our Rabbanim, if we can stand before them and respect the opinion of our sages, it'll make it that much easier for us to stand in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now the pasuk tells us, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. Picture a Kadosh Baruch Hu in front of you at all times. When the Chafetz Chaim wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael late in his life, Chafetz Chaim was very much, very adamant, very set on this idea of going to Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski said, it's usher for you to leave Europe. People need you here. We need you to be mechazik to Olam. And the Chafetz Chaim wasn't giving up so easily. He said, it's not so simple for me anymore. I'm old. I don't have the koach. I can't run around. I can't be mechazik people like I once was able to. He says, you don't need me here anymore. And Rav Chaim Ozer said, you're wrong. And I'll tell you why. And he gave him the mashal that appears in the last line, line and a half of source 26. Of Moshe Shmuel Shapiro Zatzal brings it down in the Sefer Nichocha Shel Torah. Kishasaba Yoshev Liad HaShulchan. Chavetz Chaim, Tzadik Hador, you tell me you're an elderly man, you're not able to run around anymore. But I'll give you a simple mashal. When the grandfather's sitting at the table, Afilu Im Hushosek, even if he says nothing, just being there, Ve'in Bo Koach Lisari, he doesn't have the kochos to run around anymore. The grandchildren know when Zaidi's sitting at the table, right? We have to act in a certain way. As long as the Chafetz Chaim was still in Europe, people, just by being in his presence, directly or indirectly, felt his hashpa. Again, if we attach ourselves to tzaddikim, to gedolim, to rabbanim, it'll make it that much easier to use it as a stepping stone to attach ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And last but not least, like we said earlier on, we said at the beginning of the shiur, Yira Shamayim, look to the Shamayim. If a person looks at the world, he's able to come to Yiras Hashem. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin Hilchus. There's no section of the Shulchan Aruch Hilchus Yiras Hashem, Yiras Shemayim. That's not to say that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't touch on it in many places. And we have halach almost at one of the opening lines of the Shulchan Aruch in Source 27. In Or HaChaim, Siman Aleph, Sif Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, Ro'i l'chol Yari Shamayim. He tells us what a definition of a Yari Shamayim is. A Yari Shamayim is the type of person who's made Tzav Doeg al Churban Beis HaMikdash. He feels a tremendous sorrow over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So a fellow once came to the Chiddush Shearim and said, I don't understand. Feeling bad about the Beis HaMikdash is only for Yari Shamayim? If I'm not a Yari Shamayim, I don't have to feel bad about the Beis HaMikdash. So the Chiddush Shearim said back to him in Source 28. He said, Mi she'eino Yari Shamayim, Roy lo lios meitzer v'doeg al-chorban atzma. If you're not a Yari Shamayim, you've got a bigger chorban to worry about. The chorban of yourself. You're not a human being, like Rav Chana Wasserman said earlier. Right, so there are halachos in Shulchan Aruch. There are other places tangentially where the Shulchan Aruch mentions the concept of Yiras Shamayim, but he doesn't tackle it head on the same way that the Rambam does. The Rambam writes on all areas of halacha. The Rambam tackles midos head on from a halachic perspective. And therefore we have to look to the Rambam as the posek in these matters when it comes to learning how does one become a Yiras Shamayim. So the Rambam asked the question that we mentioned earlier, how does a person have a mitzvah to attach himself emotionally to a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Either he feels it or he doesn't. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim in the third Chelek, in the 28th chapter, and again in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah says, how do you work on it? You know, you think about the Rambam, right? We picture the Rambam, this great intellectual, just to be mocked him before we read the words of our posek, our Rebbe on these matters. Understand who the Rambam was as a Yari Shamayim. And you could tell me that these thoughts are conjecture. How do these tzaddikim know this about the Rambam? I'm not sure. But in the Sefer Masa B'nei Kahas in Source 29, it's brought down that Yiras Shamayim Agadola Shel Rambam Eino Nitenes L'Tiur. We can't even begin to imagine. We think the Rambam, he's a doctor, he's a Talmud Chacham. His Yiras Shamayim was unbelievable. We can't even begin to describe it. And he quotes from Rabbi Yeshua of Belz, who said, Shetama Vishal, Keitzad Yachla Yiras Shamayim B'mida Kazu. How is it possible for a human being, Lios Belibo Shealud Isha, that a person born of a woman, of a human, of flesh and blood, could attain such a level of Yiras Shamayim? Now, I don't think the Belz Rebbe ever met the Rambam. But he understood, somehow, through the Rambam's writings, through a tradition, that the Rambam was one of the greatest Yiras Shamayim of all time. In the Sefer Chivas Yerushalayim, it brings a story that the Yismach Moshe very badly wanted to feel the Yiras Shamayim from the earlier Doros. So he said, Tidavet Rebono Shalom, let me feel the Yiras Shamayim of the Avos. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm not giving you the Yiras Shamayim of the Avos, you can't handle it. He says, how about the Tanayim? Not for you. Amoraim? Not for you. Savaraim? Gaonim? Someone? No, not for you. Can I have the Yiras Shamayim of the Rambam? Can I taste the Yiras Shamayim of the Rambam? So the Ribono Shel Olam said to the Yismach Moshe, fine, I'll give you the Yiras Shamayim of the Rambam. He let him taste for a second. He placed upon him the Yiras Shamayim that the Rambam had, and the Yismach Moshe was out on the floor. Out cold. He passed out on the floor. Right? He couldn't handle it. And he asked the Ribono Shel Olam, please, you know, take this away from me. This is how tangible the Yiras Shamayim of the Rambam was. So what does our Rebbe, the Rambam, paskin, when it comes to Yiras Shamayim? Oh, I skipped one more source. Number 30. I have to do number 30. The Pinchas of Koritz told his son one time, he wanted to lend out a sefer. So he's going to lend out a friend the sefer Mor Nevuchim of the Rambam. He says, don't lend it out, you have to keep it in your house. He says, I don't learn it that much. He says, having the svarim of the Rambam even in your house, even if you don't touch them, bring Yiras Shamayim to a home. This was the Rambam. So what does our Rebbe, the posek, the Rambam tell us? Yes.
Who the Yaakov Kamenetsky would not stay over in a house that didn't have Mor Nevuchim?
Psh, there you go. Okay, it's usher. It's usher to dwell in a house. You're at the Pesach, or Zitter Paskins. You can't stay in a house without a Rambam's Mor Nevuchim. Okay, Rabbi Nachman would say a little differently, for those who maybe in Yavin. Fine. So what is the Rambam Paskin? How do you work on your Yiras Shamayim? Says the Rambam in Source 31. V'heichi aderech la'avaso v'yiraso. How do you acquire Yiras Shamayim? L'maisa, how do you do it? How do you make it happen? B'shashi is bonin ha'adam b'maisa v'bruav v'niflam ha'gadolim v'yira mehen chachmaso she'in la'erech v'lokeitz miyad hu oi v'mishabeach v'mifa'er v'mis'avet ha'yva gadola l'idah Hashem ha'gadol. When a person thinks about a Kodesh Baruch Hu's wondrous creations, the endless wisdom that fills the universe, so a person immediately is filled with this tremendous love, this longing to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As David HaMelech says, Tzoma nafshi le'elokim l'kel chai. U'kishmechashe bedvar me'ilu atzman, miyad hu nirta l'acharav. That's the Ava aspect. But afterwards he has this second aspect, this Yira. He's drawn back. It's a Yiras Shamayim. He can't even say Yiras Hashem like Rav Futner told us earlier. V'yifachid v'yodeya shu bria katana. He feels small, he feels minuscule as part of the larger universe. Says the Rambam, Yiras Shamayim, look to the Shamayim. Look at the world around you. Look at the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in. How is it possible for us not to have Yiras Shamayim when we look at the world in this way? It's a daunting task for us to work on Yiras Shamayim. Hope these etzas are somewhat practical, and I leave you with a thought that brings us full circle. We started with a kol bidei shemayim chutz mi yiras shemayim. Is yiras shemayim such a small thing? Yeah, for Moshe Rabbeinu it's a small thing. Explains the Slonim Rebbe of Avram of Slonim in his Yesod HaVodah. I'm not going to read it inside because it's late. But he explains that when it comes to something being difficult or easy, there are two ways to categorize it. Something difficult, something easy, it could be just mitzad de gavra. How much effort do I need to make to do it? If it takes a lot of effort, it's difficult. If it's something that I can do with ease, then it's easy. That's one way to classify difficult and easy. He says there's a second way. Difficult might be something that's not fully in my control. I can make all the efforts in the world, or I can make very few efforts, but regardless of how many efforts I make, it's not in my control. And something easy could be defined as something that I have bias over, that I'm in control of. It may not be the easiest thing as far as action, the actions I need to take to make it happen, but I'm in control. If I do the right things, I can make it happen. Says the Yesod HaVodah, says the Slonim Rebbe, Yira Shemayim, a kol bidei Shemayim chutz mi Yira Shemayim. You know why it's an easy thing? You know what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Klal Yisrael? It's not so hard. Yeah, maybe Klal Yisrael, you're going to have to work a little bit harder to make it happen than I was able to make it happen, Moshe says. But the reality is, it's in your hands. It's not bidei Shemayim. It's in your hands. A kol bidei Shemayim chutz mi Yira Shemayim. It's an easy thing to do if you're willing to work at it. And again, it's not so easy. Let's not kid ourselves. It's a lifetime of avoda. But Amir Tashem, in the ikvus of the Mashiach, now more than ever, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is longing for us. He's begging us to speak a few words of Yira. Pasuk says in Malachi, the Baal Shem Tov explained, "As nidbru Yira Hashem ish l'ri'eyu." The time's going to come where people, that one person is going to whisper to his friend, they'll be talking amongst themselves in Yiras Hashem, because most of the world is not interested in talking it. This is the end of days, the Baal Shem Tov describes. People are ashamed in the streets to talk openly about Yiras Shemayim, Yiras Hashem. It sounds like a frumi concept, right? But this is what makes us human. This is what gives us the backbone to survive in the Golus, the same way that Yaakov Avinu survived. And all the more so when we're living in Chutz Laretz. All the more so. Rav Meir Shapiro had a group of Talmidim who were heading to Eretz Yisrael. And he said to them, the Or HaChaim explains, V'haya ki sevo al haaretz. V'haya is a lashon of simcha. V'haya, there's no greater simcha than going to Eretz Yisrael. And then he said, I'll give you a second proof that Eretz Yisrael is a place of simcha. The Zohar says, there's two psukim, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, and Ivdu es Hashem b'yira. The Zohar says, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha is in Eretz Yisrael, Ivdu es Hashem b'yira is in Chutz Laretz. So I was thinking when I read this verse from Rav Meir Shapiro. So here we are in Chutz Laretz. Yeah, we'd love to be in Eretz Yisrael very soon. But Lemaisa, in Chutz Laretz, we have an opportunity to serve Hashem with Yira. So Mirtz Hashem, if we take advantage of that, if we take advantage of what Malachi, the Navi is saying, Az Nidbru Yira Hashem, the few people who are interested in speaking Yira Shemayim to one another, Mirtz Hashem will be Zocha to go up to Eretz Yisrael with Yira and with Ava to serve HaKadosh Baruch with the Beis HaMikdash from here, Rabbi Amenu, Amen. Shabbos.